vacation on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity, salam and salutations be upon all of you. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about training children.
How's the future hold close for a time will come? Deep in your heart there's a river that flows all the way to kingdom come. Through the sandstorms where the high wind blows, desert rose does bloom. Please help me give the young a chance, lead them in the dance. My people, give the young a chance, change the circumstance. And so it's written as the moon shall turn the tides, and as the stars shall light your eyes. Don't listen to the words of fools, the young and know they are the children.
Today, Thursday, is the 6th of Rajab, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of Bahman, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 18th of February, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we bless this moment of today's special by recitation of Chapter and Fall, verse 28.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واعلموا أنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة وأن الله عنده أجر عظيم.
And know that your properties and your children are but a trial, and that Allah has with Him a great reward.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Intensive love for wealth and children is the pivot of a lot of evil actions. It is the origin of many unlawful transactions, lies, monopolies, short waits, lack of payment of the alms tax to avoid giving homes, that means 1/5 levy, and poor rates, greeds, hindering other affairs, false oath, wasting the people's rights, and the like of them. The love of the children may cause a person to escape from the battlefield and not to tolerate a short separation from the family. Then these are the factors of trial.
Look around yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves, isn't this proof enough for us? Or are we so blind to push it all aside? No, we just have to open our eyes, our hearts and minds. If we just look right, we'll see the signs. We can't keep hiding from the truth and let it take us by surprise. Protect us in the best way, guide us every single day, keep us close to you until the end of time.
We're speaking about training of children on today's special from IRIB English Radio. Parents should put in their best efforts to ensure that their children become true inheritors of Islam and to keep Islam alive in their lives and their families. Parental efforts are therefore quite instrumental in inculcating the love of Islam and the desire to worship in the right manner. Parents should also recognize that raising good children can be a source of their salvation in the hereafter. This is because if parents raise good Allah-fearing children, those children can constantly pray to Allah for their parents after their death. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny said, upon death, man's deed will stop except for three deeds, namely, a continuous charitable fund, endowment or goodwill, knowledge left for people to be benefit from, and a pious, righteous, and God-fearing child who continuously prays to Allah for the souls of his parents.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with educating children. So we find that the scope and realm of educating our children is so wide that nobody can say that okay, I've begotten some children, and they are now grown up, and from now on, I don't have anything to do with them, and I don't have any responsibility regarding them. In this way, we find that in the teachings of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, we find that the father is regarded as the one who is directly responsible for educating the children. We find that the religious character of children goes back to the father's perseverance in this way. At the same time, and likewise in the same vein, we find that the sixth infallible Imam, Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, indicated it in this way, that the right of a child over his father, over his or her father, can be summarized in three phenomena or three things. First, a good mother and a good name. A good mother and a good name should be provided for the child. So we find that before thinking about a child, Islam encourages people to choose an appropriate spouse, wife. Another one is that a good name should be adopted and taken for a child, because there are some evidence that even the meaning of a name exerts its influence on the character of the person. So we find that a good name should be chosen for a child. Not a funny name or, for example, semantically meaningless or disgusting name. Besides this, a father is expected to do his utmost in educating the child.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Religious training of children. Some don'ts in religious training. Dear brothers and sisters, don't do it harshly. Getting angry with the child and focusing him leads to resentment. It is better to explain and discuss with the child. Don't overdo it. Teach religion in moderate doses. Overdoing it can be harmful and can be a burden for a child. Don't teach Islam to show off. Children should not be taught to be religious so parents can be proud of them in the community. Don't make Islam a burden. Some parents believe that Islam is too difficult. Although they practice it, they pass on the feeling that to them, hijab, fasting, and other such rules are really a great burden. This will discourage the child.
Trials of life upon me, more precious than diamonds and gold, tested with fire I may be, but I know I'll come out stronger in this world. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me in my darkest night, shows me right from wrong in life, the wild but often light. Cause I don't need anyone, or anything in life, but you.
Habits of Successfully Raising Muslim Children is the title of this part. Providing a positive environment. It is the right of the Muslim child to be provided with a suitable environment and an Islamic household. Having an Islamic household does not mean having Ayatul Kursi or inscriptions of Quranic verses on your walls. This does not constitute an ideal Islamic household, but the activities and allocation of schedules in homes make households Islamic. All the necessary Islamic materials and elements should be made available in every Muslim household for the children to remain in an Islamic-friendly environment. Parents should maintain a peaceful environment at home. The household should be free of conflict. Even though conflict between a husband and a wife is inevitable, but when those moments strike, parents should handle it in such a way that their children will have no knowledge of it. Children should not see their mother acting disobediently to their father. The same way they should not see their father abusing their mother. This kind of attitude from parents only send negative vibes to the children and that affects their upbringing and personalities.
The parents play the biggest role in shaping the identity of their children. But oftentimes, we find that there is no clarity. Being clear in our identity is extremely important. It's crucial. Because kids at age 4, they start to try to make sense of who they are. They don't necessarily do this consciously. A lot of this is done subconsciously. But a lot of kids at age 4, they start to think about who they are. What defines me? And that's why you find when there is a threat, when there is a tragedy, when there is Islamophobia, many of our children are reluctant to show what their identity is. Because to begin with, they're confused. They're not even sure who they are, what they represent. When we look at, you know, the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, we see that the identity that he gave was very clear. Yes, what defines you is submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the holy verse states, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. That's the identity of a believer, of a human being created by God. To recognize his Lord, to serve his Lord. That servitude is very important. But at the same time, you love the society that you live in. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi loved Mecca. He had a lot of love for that land. And he teaches us to love our lands and to work for justice in our lands. But be very clear. The mission of the Prophet had no vagueness. There was no ambiguity with his mission, with the identity of his companions. They were Muslims. They came from multiple backgrounds, tribes, nations. But they were Muslim. They submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they worked for social justice.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further and
further. Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and how about reflecting on a wise aphorism from Imam Ali al-Naqi al-Hadi, peace be upon him, the 10th successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Do not expect honesty and purity of intention from someone who has suffered from your malice. Do not expect loyalty from one to whom you have been disloyal. Do not expect goodwill from someone whom you regard with ill will, as his heart towards you is the same as your heart towards him.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear listeners Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio We have now reached the 12th section of the tradition of Hisham ibn Hakam which he narrates from Imam Kadhim alayhi salam on the intellect, on truth and you know other such important matters In this section and from this section till the end of the tradition, we see that the Imam alayhi salam will not use any Quranic ayat. Till the 11th section, the Imam used Quranic ayat in order to prove his point, and in order to emphasize what he's trying to show. From here on end, the Imam will use sunnah, he will use historical anecdotes and so on and so forth. So in this section, the Imam mentions a tradition from Luqman, that what Luqman, as he mentioned in the previous, what Luqman was given by Allah. In this section, the Imam is saying what Luqman, by using his intellect and attaining wisdom, said to his son. So the Imam says, O Hisham, Luqman said to his son, submit to truth. This is the crux of the thing, submit to truth. And you shall attain the strongest intellect of all people. But the intelligent, that person who has intellect and who submits in the face of truth are few. As we saw that Imam praised what? The minority previously. So he's using all of that and bringing it here as well. My son, the material world is a fathomless sea in which many people have drowned. So let the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be your ship to traverse it. Let your tawheed be that thing that you know, guides you across this bottomless pit. This rough sea, let this tawheed and your belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be your protection. In a sea that has huge and disastrous waves. Let your faith be your ship's ballast. Your iman be that mast of yours, that thing that will guide you as well. Let reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be its sails. It's a beautiful metaphor that he's comparing everything to a ship in a rough sea. Let your intellect be its captain too. That ship is guided by your intellect. Your intellect must be that which has been given wisdom by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Intellect must be that which has earned that gift of wisdom by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let your intellect be its captain, its guide, that thing which drives it either left or right, front or back. Let knowledge be its navigator. Let fortitude be its keel. So we see this beautiful metaphor that the Imam alayhi salam uses, that he narrates from Luqman alayhi salam, in saying that your beliefs, your knowledge, your intellect is the only thing that will assist you, will guide you, will protect you in the rough seas of this temporal world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us in such a way as well, inshaAllah. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه و جورسپروденس
is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked in
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism. This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. Welcome to the program, Ulama Speech. In today's program, we're going to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi. Please stay tuned.
تمام ساز و برگ امام معارفی بود که از قرآن و اهل بیت و
Everything that Imam Khomeini had was from the teachings that he had gained from the Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Be it intellectual, mind-based knowledge, or be it spiritual and mystical capabilities, be it his psychosomatic traits or his courage. We hear this thing that Imam used to say, America can't do a damn thing. Elders, intellectuals in this very country, they exist today too. They are ready to bow down to some American officials in order to get some assistance or relief from them. Considering that Iran was at its weakest back then, it was apparent that it had no material might when Imam had said, America can't do a damn thing. Where had this spiritual power come from? Where had this self-esteem come from? The esteem and glory is for Allah, for His Prophet, and for the believers. It was provided for him due to his actions in abidance by Islam. His greatness shook the world, but when it comes to himself, he considered himself nothing. He wouldn't consider himself to be extraordinary. Thank you so much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulama Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi. Until next time, we leave you in Allah's care.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. Now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani la'in rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin. Dear sisters and brothers in Iman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The month of February has been declared as the Black History Month as a way of recognizing the tragedy of the African slaves who were forcefully brought to America and the Caribbean region as free labor during the British reign and even later on. One of the distinctions of Islamic faith is that it opposed racial discrimination from the very beginning. Among the early converts to Islam were those who were considered by the Arab Meccan standard as people of low class, financially weak and poor, and especially those who were slaves and ex-slaves. In this group, you will find people like Bilal al-Habashi, Ammar bin Yasir, Salim Mawla Abi Hudhayfa, as well as Abdullah bin Abbas, Miqdad, and many others. The elite of Mecca once told the Prophet, "Why do you sit with these people? Why do you associate with such people of a lower standard? If you turn them away from yourself, we might accept you as our leader." This is when verse 52 of chapter 6, Al-An'am, was revealed to the Prophet of Islam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very clearly says, وَلَا تَطْرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبُّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهُهُ. That, O Muhammad, do not drive away those who call upon their Lord in the morning and in the evening, desiring His favor. مَا عَلَيْكَ مِنْ حِسَابِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ وَمَا مِنْ حِسَابِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Nothing of their account of their deeds will be upon you, and nothing of your account falls upon them. فَتَطْرُدَهُمْ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And if you drive them away, you will become one of the unjust ones. So the language is very strong, and it's addressing the Prophet directly. And this is a way where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to emphasize a point that, see, this is how I'm addressing the Prophet directly, personally. And so you should realize that this is a very serious matter in the views of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam recognizes the diversity of color, race, and language as signs of Allah's power and glory. These, however, cannot be the basis of superiority. If you really want to see the sign of preference in Islam, you should look at verse 13 of chapter 49, Surah Al-Hujarat, where Almighty God addresses the humanity in general, where He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O the people, Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, we have indeed created you from a male and a female, referring to Adam and Eve, our first fathers, our father and mother. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا. And then we made you into nations and tribes. لِتَعَارَفُوا, so that you may know one another. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنَّ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Verily the most honorable among you in the eyes of God is the most righteous among you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Allah is all indeed all-knowing and aware. The concept of monotheism, tawheed, when we say La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, this itself promotes the equality of people in the eyes of God, because all human beings have same relationship to Him. He is neither anyone's father, nor is anyone His son or daughter. We all have equal relationship to Him. We are nothing but His servants, created to obey and serve Him. And we have been given the same potential to achieve the levels of salvation through our beliefs and our deeds. The Prophet of Islam enforced this idea of equality of believers not only on theoretical level but also on social level. An interesting example is of Bilal al-Habashi. He was a slave when he converted to Islam in Mecca. His master, when he found out that his slave Bilal has become a Muslim, the master was Safwan bin Umayyah, he tortured him physically because of his new faith. But Bilal refused to renounce Islam even under torture. In Medina, after the migration, when the Awan, the call for prayer, was first introduced, the Prophet asked Ali to teach the Awan to Bilal. When Bilal started doing the Awan, some Arabs came to the Prophet and suggested that this honor should be given to somebody else. What they meant was somebody from the Arabs, because Bilal cannot pronounce the Arabic letter Sheen properly. Instead of Sheen, he says Seen. Means instead of saying Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, you know, Bilal says Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah and Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This is where the Prophet says to them, the Seen of Bilal is Sheen in the hearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, you know, Bilal might say Seen, but when it reaches to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is heard as Sheen. Allah does not look at the physical manifestation, He appreciates the purity of the heart. The Imams of Ahlul Bayt, especially when it comes to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, they strongly promoted the equality of believers in the eyes of God. One of the reasons why some of the companions rebelled against Imam Ali was because of his insistence on justice, especially his insistence on distribution of the public revenue among Muslims equally, irrespective of their tribe, color, or social status. In one of his sermons, soon after becoming the leader of the Muslims, Imam Ali said, "Al-mal malullah wa antum ibadullah." This property, the public revenue that we have for distribution, this belongs to Allah, and you are all servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore it will be distributed equally among you. This offended the sensibilities of some of the companions who still had not totally get rid of the jahiliyyah tendency of racism. We as Muslims seriously need to go back to our basics, to the Quran, to the teachings of the Prophet, and the example of the Ahlul Bayt, as far as race relations and racial harmony is considered. Especially as the Shia of Ali, this is even more important for us. And we have to live up to the ideals of Islam and the example of the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt. So next time, my sisters and brothers in Islam, when you hear the Awan or say the Awan yourself, remember Bilal and the practical lesson that the Prophet gave to us about respecting a fellow Muslim, irrespective of their color, race, or language. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep us under His protection and guide us to the true character of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wassalam. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد
الله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatu As-Sajjadiyya. We have been discussing the seventh supplication of this prayer manual, and that is on Imam Sajjad alayhi salam's dua during incidents of sorrow, painful occasions and intense grief. We are looking at verse number 8 of this supplication, where we are asking a couple of things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after having acknowledged the fact that everything is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. To Him belongs all kinds of power, and we do not have any kind of power parallel to Allah's power. Our power also belongs to Him. So, لَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى means that to Him belongs all the beautiful names, which are all the perfections. Any kind of perfection anybody has in any level belongs to Allah. And there is nothing like, you know, I have something and Allah has something. That is a superficial kind of thinking of the reality.
رَبَّنَا
to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu As-Sajjadiyyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana.
Now, having known that in this verse, verse number 8, after having sought abundant mercy of Allah on the Holy Prophet and his sinless progeny, we say, وَافْتَحْ لِي يَا رَبِّ بَابَ الْفَرَجِ بِطَوْلِكَ. Open for me, my Lord, the door of relief through your graciousness. We talked about this. وَاكْسِرْ عَنِّي سُلْطَانَ الْهَمِّ بِحَوْلِكَ. Break from me the authority of grief by your strength. This is also what we already discussed, but we only wanted to stress on the fact that this Sultan al-Ham, it's very important to know that this Ham and this grief, which is an authority or a dominating factor in our hearts, is due to what is anticipated in future. Now, the thing that we must understand is that although we are seeking this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah to relieve us from that worry and that hum that we have in our heart, that grief of what has not yet happened but will happen, as we have been threatened, for example, or due to the circumstances that we face, for example, yet we should have this in our mind that, number one, everything is in Allah's hands, and number two, there are ways of even diverting that. Not only supplication, but there can be practical ways. If a person were to just supplicate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask him, but not take practical steps towards rectifying the situation, and he can rectify, then you find the person is not practical. He actually is not seeking that. And also, we must realize that the person, when he asks that those worries should not dominate him, he should realize that everything is in Allah's hands. And therefore, it is not 100% thing that, you know, what they have said will transpire 100%. For example, we have cases whereby a person has had cancer, different kinds of cancer, and at the last moment, the cancer is gone completely. Now, it doesn't mean that if you are told by the doctors that, you know, you are now finished and after 1 month you will go, you'll find there are some people who are told that after, let's say, 3 months you will die, and the person lives for maybe 7 years more. So everything is in Allah's hands. It's only to understand and believe. And as we said, the problem with us that we do not have presential knowledge. And that is why we should actually ask Allah to relieve us from this straits of the material realm that has enveloped us because of the attachments that we have had towards this realm. If these attachments come out and we purify ourselves, we can come to a level whereby we can see the reality, and therefore we do not have to worry. And even if, let's say, anything has to come, it would be good for us. So this is very important. While we are supplicating from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve us from that grief of what is to be expected in future, we should also practically understand and inculcate this in our mind and hearts, that it is not necessary that that thing would transpire as we have conceived or as somebody has threatened. It can change, and everything is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Then we continue and say, وَأَنِلْنِي حُسْنَ النَّظَرْ فِيمَا شَكَوْتُ. Bestow me the beauty of your gaze upon my complaint. Now, this sentence here, this phrase, has been interpreted in different ways. One of the interpretation is when we say, وَأَنِلْنِي, bestow me, حُسْنَ النَّظَرْ فِيمَا شَكَوْتُ. That means a beautiful consideration about what I have complained, O Allah. That means, of course, when we complain, it's not that we are complaining against Allah. No, whatever Allah is doing is out of mercy. But we are complaining of, or we are trying to ask Allah to relieve us from the predicament that we are facing. That is the kind of complaint that we are talking about. But sometimes there is a lot of good in the problems that we are encountering. So what we are asking Allah is, bestow me
Husna nazar fi ma shakawtu, to think beautifully about what I've complained about. That means whatever I'm suffering and I'm complaining about, oh Allah, I don't know the reality of that. Perhaps it is good for me. Especially those things that, for example, which may pertain to social affairs, which apparently there is no disease that you are afflicted with. It's only because of a social problem which is good for you, but you don't know about it. So you say, oh Allah, make me optimistic that whatever you have given me, you, that is good, make it that way. Make me realize the beauty of what you have given me. So while I ask you to relieve me from this predicament that is apparently unpleasant for me, but oh Allah, make it in such a way that I have a good vision about what I am facing. This is one of the meanings that we can get from this beautiful verse. Another meaning that inshallah we will continue discussing is wa anilni, and bestow me husna nazar fi ma shakawtu. That means bestow me with good attention from you in what I've complained about. That means, oh Allah, the result of my complaint should be your good attention. That means you relieve me from the predicament that I have been entangled in. Inshallah, we'll continue with our discussion in our next session. We come to the end of the program. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را، هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را.
Hello, welcome to The Light. If you walk through London these days, you will spot tiny handmade shops in some places. The shops have been created by an artist to encourage people to donate non-perishable food to charities. Sean Rodrigo makes wooden miniature food banks and puts them in different areas. He uses a 3D printer to create his artwork. Rodrigo believes decorated boxes shaped like shops grab people's attention. Each box holds about 35 cans.
Thai brides and grooms have said, I do, in a special wedding ceremony on Valentine's Day. 59 couples tied the knot on elephants during the ceremony in Thailand's Chonburi province. The elephant bag wedding is actually an annual event. It takes place in a botanical garden. In previous years, over 100 couples attended the ceremony. But this year, the number was half that due to the pandemic.
It's really difficult and often painful to put a smile into sick kids' faces, especially when they are suffering from chronic diseases. But a group in superhero costumes in Austria has taken a courageous move to cheer up young patients on International Childhood Cancer Day. Vienna Special Forces police officers agreed to visit the children's hospital, dressing up as Spider-Man, Batman, and other superheroes. The young patients were excited and delighted to see them through windows while they scrawled on the walls of the hospital. The officers' brass band also played familiar songs from Star Wars to amuse the children. The visit was planned by hospital officials and volunteer officers in order to cheer up these little warriors who are fighting the diseases every day.